Good morning, brothers and sisters, and young people. Last night, I found myself sitting in an airport, waiting to come home. I'd been away from my family for, I don't even remember, at least 4 weeks. I'd been missing them terribly. I was sorrowful. I had missed my flight, so it brought me home even later. I went through my notes for my exhortation and discovered that I didn't really put any effort into it. I was very disappointed in it, and so I scrapped it and decided to write another one on the plane. This one has been in my head for past four years, and it's kind of a story about when Kelly and I first got married. It was a little over 4 years ago. I was sitting in another waiting room in an airport. This is right after Kelly and I were first married. I was due to fly out to Dallas, Texas, but all I could think about was canceling my flight, turning around and coming home. That spring, I had gotten my Class A license, in hopes that I would make some money and be able to support my new family. Well, as it turned out, I had had plans to find a local job and be able to stay home with my wife. And as it turns out, I could not find any work because there was no company that would hire me without experience. So my only option was I found a job with a company out in Texas that would keep me on the road for 8 weeks at a time, perhaps. So, on my home time, Kelly and I got married, and we spent all of about 2 weeks together. And as those 2 weeks were over, I found myself sitting in a waiting room at the airport, waiting to get on my flight, while Kelly was driving up to Idlewild to go to Bible school. And I started thinking that this job was taking me away from the woman I loved, and as well as the options of my getting to any meeting to even break bread with my fellow brethren was not likely to happen. So at any rate, while I was sitting there, I became exceedingly sorrowful. I began to cry there in the waiting room. It's not something I like to admit, but it started to become so intense that I had to leave. I actually ran to the restroom and hid myself and cried heavily as I didn't know what decision I should make. Should I get on the flight? Because that way I would be able to make enough money to support my family. Or should I turn around, cancel it, and come home and be with God and my family? I didn't know what to do. I began crying and weeping and began to pray. And I prayed heavily. I was praying to God, praying for some type of answer on what I should do. I expected an instantaneous response. I wanted, a decision on what I should do. But as time went on, I heard the announcement for my flight. And still I had no answer. In my heart, I knew that the best answer was to come home, to be with my wife, and to be in church every day, and to follow God. But in my head, I knew that there's no way I could support a family without any means of work. So, oh, great. So as I was sitting there praying, I asked God for the right answer. Finally, I made my own decision. I chose the answer that best served God. I literally ran down to the check-in counter and frantically asked if I could have my luggage back, because I certainly was not getting on that flight. I didn't care about the cost of the ticket. I only wanted my luggage so I could hit the road and get up to Idlewild and see my wife. Well, the lady at the counter was very understanding, and she made several phone calls, was able to get my luggage, and get me out of there as quickly as possible. So within minutes, I had my luggage and was out the door. I showed up at Idlewild late that night, slept in my car, and in the morning, I saw my wife. I expected her to be very upset with me. I expected her to think, you know, how are we going to be able to support ourselves without me working? Instead, she was very understanding. She was actually glad to see me and stood by my decision. But then at breakfast, this is the whole point of this story, is the most amazing thing happened. And it surprised me even now when I think back on it. Jim Crooks had come up to me at my table, and he asked me, "Aren't you supposed to be in Dallas? I heard you had a job out there." And I told him, explained what I had done, and he said, "Well, that's not a problem. I have a job for you, and we will take care of you." So he had a temporary job for me. It was only supposed to last about 4 weeks. And it turns out on the first day that the driver I was filling in for had a heart attack and was forced to retire. And kept me, I actually ended up working for him for the last 3 years and supporting my family. And that's when I knew I had my answer. God didn't give me his answer right away. He had waited for me to make my decision and then showed me that I made the right decision. Now, in thinking back on this story, it reminded me a lot of Christ when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane weeping. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 40. Okay, Luke 22, verse 40. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, Christ was exceedingly sorrowful, and weeping, and even though he knew the right choice, he still was, he still prayed for the right answer. There's another description in, I apologize, my notes aren't very good this morning. But in Mark 14, turn with me to verse 32. Actually, I'm sorry, starting at Okay, well, verse 34, it says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." It shows to me how upset Christ was.